2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to about verse 5. Last week we were in verse 1 and we just titled it Last Days in Perilous Times. And tonight we're just going to really cover verse 2. We're going to take our time in this. He said in verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Father, again, we thank you for this privilege to be able to assemble together, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to fellowship together and sing the hymns. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to look into thy word together. We ask your blessings upon this time, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last Sunday night, we camped out in verse 1. And what we did is that we basically focused in on the terminology here, the last days. It's mentioned in 1 Timothy 4:1, the latter times, and there's other expressions given, but we run several references. There's one reference I think I forgot to give you, and that's in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, is quoting from the book of Joel. And I'm not asking you to turn there, but I'll make sure I give you the exact verses. In Acts chapter 2, yes, verse 16 through verse 21. And he's quoting from Joel, and they were speaking, preaching the gospel, and there were many different nationalities there, Jews from different places around the world. And they all were hearing the gospel in their own language. In other words, they had the gift of tongues, which is speaking the truth in other people's language, or at least they heard in their language. And he says that this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And he speaks of those days in verse 18. So Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and then he mentions the last days. Now, I mentioned to you last week, and this is my understanding of it. I could be wrong, but this is my understanding of it, is that the last days speak of this present age in which we live. It began with Christ's first coming, as in Hebrews 1:2, and it will end at Christ's second coming. So this church age, as people call it, the dispensation of the gospel, the new covenant times, there's different ways that people express it, but we have been living in the last days. They began with the coming of Christ. So as we come to verse 2, there is a list of about 18 characteristics of human depravity in the last days. So we can get a good feel for the things that the Apostle Paul had spoke of, that Christ spoke through him and he wrote down. And again, the list begins here in verse 2, and we're just going to camp out in verse 2. We'll probably cover verse 3, maybe verse 3 and 4 next week. But there's about 18 things that are listed here, and most of this list is given to us also in Romans 1, verse 28 through verse 32. And again, it speaks there of the depravity of humanity and also speaks of those with a reprobate mind. Now, let's start here. And it's interesting the way he starts out with the list in verse 2. He said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, these are the words we're going to focus in on tonight. We will run some references on some of these. I'll just give you references on the others, especially if we've covered them recently. And we have, we're going to, one subject here we just covered 3 weeks ago tonight in chapter 2 and verse 22. Now, what we're reading here in these passages, again, the last days, signs of the last days, again, the depravity that we'll see, and he begins here with lovers of their own selves. Now, these are the opposite of Christian virtues, the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit that we would read about in Galatians chapter 5. As a matter of fact, as I read through verses 1 through 5, in these verses, we actually find a misplaced love. In verse 2, we have lovers of self, as he says here, lovers of their own selves. In verse 2, we also have, under the subject of covetousness, lovers of money, as in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we'll read a little bit later. We also have, in verse 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So we have three misplaced love here in the passage, and the positive is in the latter part of verse 4, the lovers of God. In 2020, we preached a message from this text titled, Lovers of God. That's the positive thing that we find in this passage, and we're going to see the positive side of all of this, especially when we get down to later in the chapter, especially verse 14 through the end of the chapter in verse 17. But let's just take, and again, you could spend a lot of time on each one of these phrases or words. And so, again, some of these we're going to turn and read some verses. Some of these I'm just going to give you verses because it's something that we've recently covered. So the very first thing, and I think this is interesting, how it begins this long list of sins and rebellions that we'll see in the last days. And he begins here with lovers of their own selves. The world would refer to this as narcissism. And it's a selfish person whose life revolves only around them. That's what this phrase here means. It's the root of most all other sins, if not all other, that we find in the text and that we find in other places. To be obsessed with self. Now, we live in a society that many live their lives that way. It's to be self-centered and self-promoting. And to overvalue ourselves and undervalue others. That would be some of the ideas that we would see here. The desire to be number one. How many of you ever heard the expression, looking out for number one? We've got to do that. Well, that's not a biblical statement. That is a worldly statement. And I do want to read just a few verses. One of these will be a little repetitious. But notice with me in Mark, we'll probably read more on this subject than we will others, but notice with me in the book of Mark, I'm going to read three or four different places. In Mark, we're going to turn to chapter 12. All these will be familiar. And we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 13 that we read in just a week or so ago. Somebody may ask, you don't read that every month. I said, I'd like to read it every week, you know, because I go and read these things for myself. But notice in the book of Mark, we're talking about lovers of themselves. And we find here, beginning in verse 28, Mark chapter 12, and in verse 28, and one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You can read on later and see the other comments here. But these are the two greatest commandments. All of the law hangs upon these. First of all, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now, notice with me as we turn to the book of Romans. In the book of Romans in chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12. Self-esteem, we hear a lot today, used to be called pride. You got to think that through a little bit. And it used to be called pride. It's no longer called pride by most people, but it is very, very prideful. Now, as I read in Mark, we must be told from God to love others. We don't have to be told to love ourselves, do we? But we automatically love ourselves, but we're to love others as we love ourselves. We naturally are going to love ourselves and care for ourselves, but we're to love others as we love ourselves. Now, notice here in the book of Romans, and I want to read in chapter 12. And like I said, we're going to read more on this right here than any of the others. We'll just give references to the other words and thoughts. Romans chapter 12, one verse. And I'm reading in verse 10. And if you're taking notes tonight, you can write down chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. And he's going to pretty much say what the Lord Jesus said in the book of Mark about loving our neighbor as ourself. Love is the fulfilling of the law, to love one another. Again, twice he said this is the fulfilling of the law. He tells us that love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is, again, the fulfilling of the law. Now, chapter 12, and I'm reading from verse 10. Chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In other words, to put others above ourselves. Now, this is something that sometimes it's not as natural to do, but these are commandments the Lord gives us. Notice in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'm going to quote from a secular source with the definition of narcissism. And again, we have the word, as the world would call it, narcissism, or we have the words in the scripture, which I like much better, is lovers of their own selves. This quote on narcissism, again, this is a secular source, said it is a self-centered personality style characterized as having excessive preoccupation with oneself and one's own needs, often at the expense of others. And one more quote in reference to where this word even came from. But it said the term narcissism is derived from the Greek mythology of Narcissus. He was known for his beauty and eventually fell in love with the reflection of himself in a pool of water. Now, there's be like somebody today standing in front of a mirror and admiring themselves. And I would believe that that probably happens more than we realize. Not just looking in the mirror to comb your hair or to brush your teeth, but to admire oneself. And that's the idea with this secular term. But again, we have a biblical term for this. In Romans chapter 15, again, I bring these things before you from time to time, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. I will look at this stuff for hours Just going over these words and thinking about other references, I will spend hours upon this. So if you feel like some of these touches your heart, spend about 8 hours on the subject, and you know, and God will speak to you, and He will really speak to us if we allow Him to do so. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now think about the wording here. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Why do we study Wednesday night of the book of Proverbs? Because the things that are written aforetime are for our learning, our patience, and our comfort. He said in verse 5, Now the God of patience and consolations grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I'll stop reading there. We see a number of times here, like in verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So, and I'll tell you my opinion of this based upon the Scripture, the more that we get concerned about others and ministering to others and being a help and blessing to others, it's just good for us. It keeps our mind off of ourselves as we're reading in our text. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians 13, we just read this a couple of weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 13, we read the latter half of the chapter for a different reason, but I want to read from verses 4 through at least the first few words in verse 8. And this has to do with charity. As a matter of fact, he tells us in verse 1, 2, and 3, if we don't have charity, he says nothing else matters. He actually tells us in verse 13, he said, Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Why does he say that? Faith is great, hope is great, charity is great. Why is charity the greatest? Because faith and hope come to an end in resurrection. When Christ comes back, we will not need faith anymore. And when Christ comes back, we will not need hope. We will be in possession of our eternal inheritance. But charity, love, be throughout all eternity. That is one subject that will be there. And that's why he says that charity is the greatest of all. We will not need faith at the second coming. We'll receive resurrected bodies and receive our glorification. We will not need hope because our hope will be fulfilled at that time. But love, charity, will go throughout all eternity. Notice beginning in verse 4. Now, this is something to really study on. And if you have to, get a concordance. Take a concordance and run references if need be. But just notice what he says that charity does. He said in verse 4, charity suffereth long. It's very patient, and is kind. Notice it's not rude. Charity envieth not. It has no jealousy. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't boast and brag. We're going to see boasters in 2 Timothy 3. And he says it is not puffed up. It's not filled with pride. He said in verse 5, doeth not behave itself unseemly. Again, it's not rude, it's kind, it's compassionate, it's polite. Notice, seeketh not her own, and then is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. That's a study right there for a good month, and just looking at other references that would go along with these. Now notice as we come back to 2 Timothy. So we address these things because the apostle addressed them and the Lord Jesus addressed them. So we find the issue here in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They understand nothing about charity, the divine love. That's what charity is in the Bible, a divine love produced by the Holy Spirit, and it denotes the highest form of love that there is in the universe. And so we find real men and women in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when we come to this subject of charity or the love of God. Again, in our text, there's misplaced love, and the first thing here is lovers of self. Now notice the next thing. The next thing is covetousness. This is a subject, it doesn't matter where it's in Proverbs, Genesis, the book of Revelation, anywhere we go, we're going to run into this subject. It's dealt with very seriously throughout the Holy Scriptures. Covetousness. I want you to notice with me in 1 Timothy 6. Now, I'm just going to give references after I read this one, because when we came through 1 Timothy 6, what has that been, 2 or 3 months ago? We preached 2 sermons out of this chapter just on the subject of money and finances. As a matter of fact, we preached in 1 Timothy 6, verses 5 through about 11 or 12, we preached a message titled, Lovers of Money. And then in verses 17 through 19, we preached a message titled, Charge Them That Are Rich. It's not a sin to be rich, but it can become sinful. You can be poor as dirt and be covetous of things. So let me just read through this and just make just a brief comments. And again, I'm just going to give you some other references. I'll do that now. In Romans 1:29, covetousness is listed among the worst of sins, including sodomy. Ephesians 5, verse 3 through 5, it is equivalent to idolatry. In 1 Corinthians 6:10, it has damned many souls to hell, as in Luke 18, verses 18 through 27, the rich ruler that walked away from the Lord Jesus because of his status in life and his finances. In Luke 12:15, part of the verse says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life, a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses, if we could ever believe that. A man's life is not defined by possessions. It's defined by our walk with God. Matthew 7, 21 and 22, covetousness is born out of an evil heart, an Adamic nature. We hardly ever hear this sin confessed. How many have ever heard this sin confessed? Hardly ever hear it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things as we have. Most are never satisfied with a modest home, a modest automobile, or a modest lifestyle. Never satisfied that many are possessed by possessions. And we have to have things to live. We have to have food and clothing and housing and all this to live, but we are to be very careful with this. As a matter of fact, I after going to the mission field 17 times, in countries like Belize in Central America, Honduras in Central America, and Mexico, and China, I come to the conclusion that I'm a pretty wealthy man. You say, well, you don't have anything. Well, I own 2 vehicles and a few pieces of furniture, some clothes, and that's it. But I feel very wealthy after going to these other countries 17 times and preaching to people and even seeing in one of those countries, starvation. And so when I read through 1 Timothy chapter 6 and he charges those that are rich as an American and our status in life, I can put myself into that that category. But notice in verse 5, he said, 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Now, I'm just kind of cutting in the context. I probably should read the whole thing. And he said, and destitute of the truth. Now, here's what I'm getting after. Supposing gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself, as in Luke 12:15. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing to this world, certain we can carry nothing out. But in having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, that is, those that desire it and hunger for it, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. It'll destroy their spiritual life. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, there's the word, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, Paul speaking to Timothy, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then he said in verse 17 through 19, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that is, giving, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So we did two sermons there, and I'm not going to go back and repeat those. But notice now as we come back to our text, verse 2 again. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, and then secondly, covetous. Notice the third word that is given to us here. He says, boasters. That is also in the list of Romans chapter 1. It's actually in verse 30. And as we've seen with the word covetous, that is there. There's several of these words that are in Romans 1. Again, those who have a reprobate mind. Boasters, braggers. So many things that people brag about today. Most people who brag have nothing really to brag about. But we find here it's braggers. We could brag about our talents, our abilities, our achievements, our possessions. We could go on and on with a list of things. But he says that it is a sin for those who are constantly boasting and bragging. In other words, my team beat your team. What about boxers and wrestlers? Boy, they're not only braggers or blasphemers, as we're going to see in our text. And there's constantly bragging, you know, about what they're going to do to somebody else. We brag about the fact that how the biggest, the fastest, the best, the meanest, the prettiest, and on the story goes. We hear this all the time in the world, and it should never be in the church. And so he says here in this passage, boasters. Again, Romans 1:30 and Jeremiah, I'm not asking you to turn there, Jeremiah chapter 9, I'll make sure I get it right. Jeremiah 9, we got entire sermons on this text. He said in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So the Lord delights in the fact that we will glory in him. Brag on the Lord. You know, brag on him. Well, come back to our text and notice the next thing. The next thing, he says that they're proud. And again, we've covered this so much in this series, in the Proverbs series. Pride is self-idolatry. It's the complete opposite of humility. And that's something that really needs to be studied out. We just went to a passage 3 weeks ago in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, the contrast between pride and humility. God rejects the proud and he receives the humble. And that was also in James 4, verse 6. Pride is the very image of the devil, or Satan, as we read through the scripture. God hates pride. It's called an abomination, and all that are proud will be judged. Ezekiel 16, we find that pride was one of the chief sins of Sodom. Amen. Now think about this. We talk about Sodom as one of the chief sins. We preached, I think it was last year, out of Genesis 3, 5, ye shall be as gods. In other words, Satan convincing Eve that they'll be as gods, to become our own god, to make our own decision, to enthrone ourselves. And this is contrary to scriptures. Moses even said in Exodus 3, verse 11 and 12, Moses said, who am I that I should go? In other words, he wasn't jumping up, said, Lord, send me, I'll lead these people out. He was humble. The Bible said he was very, very meek. And he said, who am I that I should go? Why have you chosen me to lead your people? He was very humble in this. The Lord Jesus said that in Matthew 11, 29, he said, I am meek and lowly. He says, learn of me. So again, this is a subject we've covered many times, especially in our Proverbs series. Now notice the next word here. He says, uses the word blasphemers. Blasphemers. You can write down Romans 2, verse 24. A blasphemer is an insulter of God and also others. This is the opposite of praise and respect. It's to speak against. We can blaspheme in our words and also in our actions, according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. Psalms 78 and verse 18 talks about speaking evil. And in Revelation 16, verses 9, 11, and 21, judgment coming upon those that rebelled against God, and they just blasphemed more. They cursed more, bitterness and blasphemy. Blasphemy was a serious crime in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Leviticus 24, 16. It was punished by death. So these are characteristics that we see in society as we move closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. The next thing, we just covered this 3 weeks ago. The next thing here is disobedient to parents. We got several sermons and Proverbs on this and others that we've preached over the years. But 3 weeks ago, we were in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22 through 26, and we titled that Youthful Lust. And we went to several places and looked at some scripture on that. Apostasy in the family, disrespect to parents. This is also in the list of Romans chapter 1. It'll actually be in verse 30, dealing with those of a reprobate mind. Children are to obey their parents. Grown adults are to honor their parents. And again, fathers and mothers are to raise them in the Lord. It says in Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, part of that section tells fathers that they're not to provoke their children to anger, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But again, here we find that in the last days, we find the depravity of humanity, and one of the things is disobedient to parents. All you got to do is go to a grocery store or get out in public, and you'll see this displayed just about every time that you get out. Another thing is, the two last things in our verse that we're just going to briefly look at, he says here the next thing is unthankfulness. That's ingratitude. As we read through the scripture, that's one of the first signs of apostasy. Ingratitude in an individual, it can happen in a church. We can become ungrateful, unthankful, or it can happen in a nation. And again, this is listed in Romans chapter 1 in verse 21. It's listed with murder and fornication and wickedness and sodomy and all those kind of things. Ephesians 5:20 tells us that those who are filled with the Spirit, that they will be thankful. They'll be thankful. So to be unthankful is a sign that a person is not filled with the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10 and 11. Now think about this. There were 14,000 Israelites killed because of murmuring. Just because of complaining and murmuring. That's a lot of people to die just over murmuring. The Bible said in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Notice the last thing that is mentioned here, unholiness, unholy. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. The opposite of being holy. We read just a week or so ago in 2 Corinthians 7:1, which has a connection to the latter part of chapter 6. All of that blends together. And he tells us that we are to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So holiness, this is a beautiful part of this. Holiness is one of the attributes of God that he can share with you and I. There's other attributes he cannot share with us, but holiness is one attribute that the Lord can share with us. We have a positional holiness in Christ upon conversion, but there's also that practical holiness that's in 1 Thessalonians 4 and other places that we are to practice holiness in our life. Well, we'll pick up in verse 3 next week. Would you stand with me, please? Like I say, you preach on this for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour. But when you spend looking over these verses, running references, thinking about it, meditating upon it, you spend 8, 9, 10 hours on it, the Lord will speak to you. So I would suggest to you to really take these things and run other references and see what other scriptures have to say. These are some wonderful things for you and I. God wants us, as I said this morning, he wants us to draw close unto him. And so when we know what is right and then what is wrong, we can have a really good walk with the Lord. Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given us, this day that you've given us. We ask your blessings now upon the closing hymn and also the closing prayer, the prayer request. We ask all of these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.